You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Scientists have been producing conflicting articles online, resulting in confusion on where the government and academics on the state of New Zealand's fish stocks and their management lay. Jack spoke with MPI and two leading academics on the current situation.
Dispute over the quality of New Zealand's fisheries management has been thrown back into the light by conflicting reports from both New Zealand and international scientists. Back in January, it was reported in the respected Proceedings and National Academy of Sciences journal that the New Zealand fisheries management was among the top performers in the world. However, a dozen scientists have thrown their weight behind a letter dismissing New Zealand's rating, pointing to the perceived bias throughout the report. I spoke to Dr. Glenn Simmons from the University of Auckland, one of the authors dismissing the report, about why they disagree with MPI and the organisation it employs over New Zealand's fisheries management.
Well, I think in a nutshell, as you know, the industry comes under what we call quota management system, which really is owned by, you know, the quota is owned by the majority of a small and very powerful group. And it's obviously in their interest to maintain the status quo or business as usual, and they take exception when outsiders go looking into how it's operating.
And just for like the listeners' view, because I've done some reading on this, but what kind of bias have you found in the reports kind of that are saying New Zealand's one of the best, you know, fishing stocks in the world?
The main premise of the report was basically biologically focused. So it was just focused on business as usual, the fishing stocks themselves. And of course, for that, they undertook a survey with a very small, what we call non-representative sample of only 6 or 7 people. And as we found when we read it, they were either, one was an MPI scientist, one was from NIWA, who does contract work for MPI, and the others were industry consultants that they'd declared either as government or NGO people. They hadn't declared any industry consultants. So we felt that needed a rebuttal, and hence that's what gave rise to our response to it.
And I see that they've responded back by saying that no one in the report that you put forward actually has any management in fishing stock management.
Yeah, well, okay, there's two issues with that. The first is that claim, and I think that came out of NIWA, is patently absurd. She full well knows that one of our authors used to work for NIWA for 20 years. Daniel Pauly, one of the co-authors, is the world's foremost marine scientist. And Dr. Graham Bremner, who was a scientist with the Ministry for Primary Industries, has sat on many of the ministry's stock assessment working groups. So she's been, how can I put it, been economical, deliberately economical with the truth. The more important thing from the team of 12 authors, two of them includes New Zealand's top marine scientists, and that's the head of marine science in Otago and the director of the Marine Science Institute at Auckland. Now, the reason that we have a multidisciplinary team is because fisheries management is not just about counting fish under the water. It's actually about how human behaviour, i.e. fishing vessels and fishermen, interact with the fish stocks themselves. And that has an impact on the environment, it has social economic outcomes and so on. And as we found back in 2011, they were actually using slave labour to harvest about half New Zealand's quota. Now, if that's not relevant, that's ridiculous. And to suggest that Maori values and kaitiakitanga is not relevant is also ridiculous, which is why we have a Maori author as part of the team.
And just another question. I was just speaking to the MPI Fisheries Management Director, and he said that after your report came out in 2016, they have actually made some changes to update how they process. Have you noticed these changes at all?
Look, our 2016 report sparked quite a reaction, and we're pleased to see a rethink within the ministry. There's a number of changes that they've made in terms of particularly the minister, speeding up the rollout, fleet-wide camera and the IMARS fleet-wide electronic reporting system. Until those things come into effect and they can be independently measured, and I don't mean by industry consultants or MPI paying industry consultants, which they have a habit of doing, we really don't know what the impact will be. But there's definitely also been a change in behaviour within the fishing industry. But despite that, we're still getting a considerable number of people from the industry coming to us and venting simply because the quota management system has failed. It doesn't work, and they don't see it working without a complete resetting, not only of the quotas, but also the way that it's managed, and particularly MPI's own performance, which is seriously wanting.
Next, I spoke to Steve Halley, Director of Fisheries Management at MPI, about why there are opposing reports.
I have no idea why we're getting the conflicting reports, but I'm, debate around fisheries management and how we do things is a pretty healthy thing, and we welcome it really. We stand, strongly behind our science and the processes that we run. We have some of the best fisheries scientists here in New Zealand. And they contract to us to do the assessment work, and then that assessment work is reviewed by a bunch of independent science folks and also the public, so that the process is open to the public to have a see about how these science processes operate, and then just to be doubly sure that there's nothing dodgy going on, we also bring in some of the world's best fishery scientists into New Zealand to have a look at the processes that we operate and the assessments that we run and make sure that they're top-notch. And that tells us pretty much that our major commercial fisheries, our major recreational fisheries are all in pretty good shape, really.
And so in 2016, there was a study by Dr. Glenn Simmons showing that widespread illegal dumping and misreporting, and then following on from that, there was the kind of leaked documents that showed that MPI couldn't prosecute these people that were actually caught dumping. And so how are we moving forward from here?
We have some particular issues with the Simmons report, and we have tried to get hold of the data behind it because the discarding in New Zealand is an illegal activity. If you're doing it except in very rare circumstances, you're breaking the law. And if someone has information that suggests that there's illegal activity going on, then we're really keen to get hold of that so that we can conduct investigations and do what needs to be done. In this case, Mr. Simmons has not been able to give us the information that we wanted that sit behind that report that he's produced, and that is disappointing. In terms of the prosecutions, an independent QC came in and had a look at the processes that MPI runs, and we've made some changes based on his recommendations. So, we're moving forward.
So just to clarify, the case that was kind of widely reported, I think by Greenpeace, which showed that some people were actually found to have been dumping fish, but they weren't prosecuted. Is that what we're finding?
I can't comment on the specifics of the case, but I believe that is the one that was investigated in some detail by the independent Queen's Council that looked into the situation, and the results of that investigation resulted in some process change at MPI, and we're satisfied that the that we have addressed any concerns that were raised.
Finally, I asked Elizabeth Slotin from Otago University exactly how are New Zealand's fish stocks doing?
Well, that's a very good question, and for most of them, we simply have no idea. So the only species for which we are doing independent research are the relatively large and relatively valuable stocks. So species like orange ruffy, hoki, crayfish, squid, those have reasonable research done on them simply because they're very valuable. But for most of our inshore fish stocks, we don't know. So we gave the example of Warrihau in the article. We don't know what the population sizes of Warrihau now. We don't know what it was before fishing started, and we don't have enough information to rationally set a quota for Warrihau. And that's a real problem because that fishery is having impacts on Maui dolphins. For many fisheries that have serious environmental impacts on protected species like Maui's dolphins, on the habitat itself like bottom trawling, for many of those fisheries we have very little information, not nearly enough information to do anything that you would remotely call stock assessment. So that's a problem, and that's something that New Zealand fisheries scientists have been saying for a long time. Dr. John McCoy, who was a fisheries research scientist, the lead scientist at MPI and NIWA for several decades, wrote an article about the quota management system that's called The Emperor Has No Clothes. And so he already quite some time ago was saying, you know, we keep saying internationally that New Zealand's fisheries management is great and we're doing a wonderful job and the quota management system is all we need. And really, when you scratch the surface, you find out, things are not half as great as what people are making out.
How independent are the regulators observing New Zealand's fish industry?
Not very independent at all, no. So there's been a lot of news about that over the last year and a half or so, where more and more of these kind of confidential investigation reports are coming out that should have been publicly available but have been, you know, basically hidden by MPI. And so one after the other, these reports are coming out and showing us that there was information, for example, in 2013 to prosecute a fisherman who had caught 2 Hector dolphins but only reported one, and they had video evidence to show that he'd caught 2. And basically nothing happened. He was not prosecuted for failing to report one of those dolphins. They haven't even looked at all the video to see just how many dolphins were caught that year. There's been no improvements in the observer program to find out more about bycatch. There's been, you know, tiny little bit more observer coverage, but it's still so low. It's still around 3%. That's nowhere near enough to estimate how many dolphins are being caught. And there's been no improvements in terms of reducing that dolphin death toll. So there's been a lot of very good investigation behind the scenes by MPI and NIWA, but often those investigations don't see the light of day and they don't influence either prosecution decisions or management decisions. So that's a real problem, and people are starting to ask, you know, is this regulator captured by the industry that it's supposed to be regulating?
In the next upcoming budget, I believe there's $20 million towards new fishing monitoring technology. So there's going to be, you know, a lot more like extensive data through video and electronic monitoring through catch. But then is our fishing practices actually sustainable as they are?
Well, so as I mentioned, with these video recorders, it's fine, it's a good thing to put these recorders on fishing vessels, but you do need to watch all the videotape and you do need to take decisions about both prosecution and better management and reducing bycatch in that case. So it's great to put more video cameras onto boats, but it's the second step. It's what do you do with that information once you've got it. That seems to be where the problem is. there's just no connection between the information that's coming in and the fisheries decisions that are being made. And so that's resulting, to answer your question, in many of our fisheries not being sustainable. So for some of our fisheries, we have good information to show that they're not sustainable. And for most of our fisheries, we don't have any information to show one way or the other. So we're really sort of stumbling along in the dark.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.